stimulation for your brain. This is the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. Good morning. Anna Bybee is here. She is the editor-in-chief of the Fairfield Patch. Anna, I saw a story this morning. You tell me, what was this about a Board of Ed meeting and the adults that went there that wanted to speak didn't want to be masked, and so the police were called? What happened?
Hi, Lisa. Yes, thanks for having me on. Yes, so basically what happened last night is that the Fairfield Board of Education's Policy Committee held a meeting. And during the course of the meeting, it was disrupted by members of the public who were in attendance, many of whom were there to speak against the in-school mask mandate. And at one point during this interaction, the police were called. And some background on how this occurred. This is a committee that normally meets in a very small space. It's not a particularly... it's not a committee that has a lot of people coming to its meetings typically, but there were about 20 people who came from the public last night. And so they were placed into an overflow room and asked to listen to audio because the normal meeting space is so small. Now, during the course of the meeting, residents felt that they could not hear the audio well. And mm-hmm. so they went and approached this separate conference room that the committee was meeting in. And apparently not all the residents who went to this small space to ask about the audio and about being able to hear the meeting better were wearing masks, which was the source of the conflict between some of the policy committee members and these residents. Now, the police did eventually respond, and essentially, based on the report, they determined that it was clearly stated on the meeting agenda that masks were required, and the meeting was eventually able to resume, but it was disrupted for about 30 minutes, and the head of the committee characterized the disruption as aggressive, with mounting aggression on sort of both sides, both between the committee members and the residents who were there. And when they did eventually resume the meeting, many residents did speak out against the in-school mask requirement, which I should note is a state mandate, not something really that the local Board of Ed has much control over. But that was what drew a lot of people out last night to this policy committee meeting.
So that's very helpful, Anna. We're chatting with Anna Bybee, who's the editor-in-chief of Fairfield Patch. If you're a Fairfield resident and want to comment on this, or you're not a Fairfield resident and want to comment on this, 203-333-9422 is our number, 203-333-9422. So we've got this policy meeting, which is a subset of the Board of Ed in Fairfield, and they're trying to do whatever it is that they're trying to do. Were the people that came to the meeting, do you know, were they Fairfield residents or were they from out of town?
I don't know that for sure. My understanding is that at least some of them were Fairfield community members. I've been to many Fairfield Board of Ed meetings, and Fairfield's a very engaged community. It's typical that at their regular Board of Ed meetings, there are many residents who often turn out. And I've attended previous Board of Ed meetings this summer at which residents have come and spoken passionately against the mask mandate. So a group of Fairfield residents attending a Board of Ed meeting to speak out against mandatory masking, there's certainly precedent for that in the Fairfield school system in recent months.
And as you said, just to be clear, yesterday, Governor Lamont said that this mask mandate, now, is this mask mandate going to be K through 12 in all public and private schools in Connecticut through September 30th?
That's my understanding. The governor was quoted in an article by Patch yesterday saying, right now, our existing executive order says everybody in school wears a mask K through 12. At this point, I don't see that changing. And this is an executive order that's in place through September 30th at this point. But whether it's extended beyond that, what happens after that, whether it becomes something that's at local discretion, all of that is still very much up in the air. And I think that's part of the source of the anxiety among community members and officials alike is that the rules when COVID's in play change quite frequently. It's hard to predict what's going to happen next because we don't always know what the virus is going to do next. And I think that that's kind of at the heart of a lot of the tensions that have been happening, you know, at the local level regarding coronavirus policies in recent months.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the tensions is coming from the idea that not every school district is the same. Ryan Fazio, who just won the 36th, was on last hour. His point, he says he would have disagreed. He disagrees with the governor's approach because he thinks it should have been more local. And I was struck, Anna, by the astonishing statistic that approximately 92% of kids in the Westport school system that are eligible to take the vaccine, so that would not be elementary school kids, it's 12 and over, have had at least one shot, and well over 80% have had two. So that would strike me as, you know, if you've got all these people medically, as a medical recognition, that all these people are vaccinated, we know the staff is vaccinated, then why would you have to have anybody wear a mask in that school district at that time, which could be a very different conclusion to make if you know the stats on the ground are 50% of the kids have gotten vaccinated. You see what I mean? Different.
That's an interesting point. And, you know, I certainly don't want to speculate at the governor's motivations or anything like that. I can say that in Fairfield, about 61% of kids 12 to 17 are vaccinated. So it's above 50%, but, you know, not quite up at that 90% rate that you were saying. Overall, Fairfield has had a fairly high vaccination rate, though I believe at this point 65% of the total population is vaccinated. So, the masking has continued to be a real topic of controversy in town. In June, actually, a parent crowdfunded an effort to create 200 lawn signs asking authorities to not have the mandatory masking for kids. The sign said, "Unmask our kids." And that same month after that lawn sign effort, the school board actually signed a letter to the governor asking that he rescind the state school mask mandate. Now, obviously, with the virus, a lot has changed between now and then. The Delta variant certainly wasn't in play to the extent that it is now. However, as I said, there is precedent in this community specifically for some apprehension and some frustration about the in-school mask mandate.
Yeah, I mean, and that resistance to masks came before we even had a vaccination. I mean, that's like the big game changer, right? So we do have a vaccination, even though the Delta variant has proven to not be a 100% shield, far from it, from cases of it. Scott Gottlieb testified this week. He thinks in countries like ours, the richer countries, we're going to go from a pandemic to an endemic, where we're going to have seasons of COVID-19, much as we have seasons of flu and cold, but we won't have to approach it with the same sort of scary, menacing, horrible statistical chance of death from it. You know what I mean? So we don't know how fast we're moving, right? Everything is a question of playing catch up and looking back, It's really an extraordinary time right now. Let me ask you this, Anna. We're talking with Anna Bybee, who's the editor-in-chief of Fairfield Patch. When you talk to people who don't want to wear masks, what is their biggest objection to mask wearing?
Well, that's an interesting question, and it's one that's, I would say, like multi-pronged. I mean, one thing that I think people, you know, are typically frustrated by is, I've got the vaccine, so why do I need to wear a mask? And my understanding is that, you know, recent information has come out indicating that even if you are vaccinated, you know, if you contract the virus, you can still spread it to others. So I think my impression is that the concern there is the sort of more general public vulnerability of people who may not be vaccinated and wanting to protect everyone, even if they don't have the vaccine, with that that possibility that it could be contracted from a vaccinated person if they do have the virus. So, but I do think that's one source of frustration, is the feeling that I've done my part, I've gotten the vaccine, I don't think I should have to wear a mask anymore, is, I think, one perspective that people have. I think when it comes to kids, there's a lot of concern about how it affects their socio-emotional development. That's one thing I've heard, that, you know, kids are not always quite as adept at reading emotional cues and have a harder time doing that when they're, you know, younger, if they can't see the face. Yeah, that's one concern I've heard parents voice. And I certainly don't ever want to speak for anyone, but this is what I've heard sort of in my reporting. And I think that when you're talking about the kids, it is a little bit of a separate set of concerns as opposed to with adults, where for them it might be, you know, I've done my part, or simply, you know, I don't think I should have to do it on my own person. You know, some people have that perspective. And with the kids, I think it's a little bit more about their personal development, how it impacts their education, their ability to make friends and develop emotionally and socially in a school environment. So that's, you know, that's one perspective that I think parents have, particularly parents of younger kids. And I do think that that's a group that's been especially vocal about this, at least in Fairfield, in the last few months.
Yeah, I can understand that. You know, it's interesting, Anna, we're chatting with Anna Bybee, but, you know, I've spoken about this before on the show. I have a family member who was one of the board members of a small private school in Westchester County, and they decided that they would hold school outside during all of COVID. And that's exactly what they did. No masks, but the school was held outside the whole winter.
Yeah, I've heard of school districts doing that in other states, actually. And from what I've heard, it's largely been, you know, fairly
pretty
successful,
good.
At least
in the
incidents I've heard of. And it is certainly one way around, you know, the masking issue, is we know that COVID spreads barely at all at a much lower rate outside at this point.
Right.
And I know that in Fairfield, they do have, I believe, tents at some of their schools. They try to maximize the outdoor time, and they do have mask breaks built into the day. So even in schools where they can't do a, you know, all the time outdoor situation, there's open windows, and there is maximizing that exposure to the outdoors to the extent that it's possible with the facilities they have. And I think that that's something that pretty much all school districts are looking at and taking into account at this point in the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's right. I mean, I'm not saying that I would have that I would have necessarily, as a kid or as a teacher, enjoyed being outside in the bitter cold, but I will tell you that these parents and kids, and I spoke to them, they sort of thought it was fun as an adventure, and they made it work. They made it work. They made it work, and they learned.
Sure. So, I mean, I think if there's one thing we can take from this pandemic, it's that we had no idea all the things we could do to make it work if we had to before this
that's
came.
Right.
And, you know, people are very adaptive. That's certainly one thing we've learned from the last, you know, 18 months at this point.
Well, thank you very much, Anna Bybee. Thanks for your close accounting of and your close coverage of what's going on in the town of Fairfield. It, as you said, it's a very engaged town with very strong points of view. It's a big town, and we like to cover it very thoroughly here on WICC as well. So thank you very much, Anna Bybee of Fairfield Patch, for coming on the show with us today. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
We'll be right back with Wayne Winston in our weekly segment on race. He's going to report on what went on in Trumbull last night at a particular town meeting. Let's stay tuned and hear for it. And just to let you know, at 11:45, I'll be dashing out because I have a funeral to attend in town. Our neighbor of over 30 years, James Digney, Jim Digney, passed away rather suddenly from an aggressive form of cancer, and we'll miss him. Very, very much. And there is an honoring of his life and his service to this country. He was a veteran. And so I will be attending that with my husband. And the service starts at noon. So I'm going to have to leave a little bit earlier in order to get there on time. But Wayne Winston joining us on the Lisa Wexler Show when we return.